First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
To the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all of the latest news, investigations, or your most recent podcast of this show. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our RSS feed and join our email newsletter, and we will make sure everything gets sent right to your inbox so you never miss any updates, any shows, anything at all. For you guys that are new to the show, as always, call-in numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys that are in the listening queue, and gals, I'm sorry, please make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad and we'll get you on the air as soon as possible. And for everybody else, if you just want to have somewhere to chat, you can jump into live chat room. Sometimes there's people in there, sometimes there's not many. Most people listen online. But if you want to go in the chat room and spread your message, well, I'm always there. Check us out. You can sign in using your Facebook, your Twitter, or any other social media account that you have. Ed Martin will not be joining us tonight. Ed Martin is in Texas. I guess, you know, he found out Barack Obama was there, so he decided to go to Texas and have lunch with the president. Told him to say hi to Rick Perry while he was there. Not sure if he did or he didn't. All kidding aside, everybody knows Ed Martin owns a dye business, and he went to Texas on a business trip that he had to make to get with one of his customers. So, you know, he won't be here tonight at all. I think he said he's going to try to call later in the show if possible. So you're stuck with me again, alone. Yes. I know you guys hate that, but you know what? I love it. You know why? Because I can do anything I want to do. I own the network. Come on, for goodness sake. We have a lot of news going on this week, and I tell you, there's some interesting things happening right here in Louisville, as always. According to WFPL, Louisville is getting ready to award three franchise agreements to three different private companies. In our quest to bring the ultra-high-speed internet service right here to Louisville, of course, everybody knows we're talking about fiber optic, It's going to provide access with internet speeds to up to about 100 times faster than anything we're used to seeing. So basically, it's going to be almost instantaneous. This is according to Ted Smith, the director of the city's Office for Economic Growth and Innovation. So, you know, you could take that with a grain of salt if you'd like. But the three networks are BGN networks. They're going to work and they're going to install a small-scale residential service in downtown Louisville. Notice I said downtown Louisville. Sci-Fi Networks out of London, England, is going to install a community-wide residential service. And Fiber Technologies Networks out of Rochester, New York, is going to install some commercial service. You know, essentially what this means is these new people are going to be putting in new infrastructure, both above and below ground, which I like. And they're also going to kind of blend in with the existing infrastructure that's already out there that's set up by Time Warner, AT&T, and the other providers we have. According to Smith, the total cost of wiring the entire Louisville area will add up to be about several hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, there aren't any specifics yet. They've got out there yet. They're still working on that. You know, and you know, he goes out to say that this is a great deal on paper. See, here's the thing for me. Yeah, I know I've always got a problem, right? But here's the thing for me, though, because we've got three different companies supposedly coming in here, but their focus right out of the gate is going to be downtown Louisville, you know, down around the courthouses, metro government, you know, the residential areas in downtown Louisville. Give me a break. And there's a reason for that. Government's going to get theirs first. You know, now supposedly this is going to be, you know, on their dime, not ours. We're not supposedly giving them any tax breaks or incentives or none of that stuff. You know, so they're supposed to be absorbing the full hundreds of millions of dollars of cost. However, you know, it does concern just a little bit because I don't always buy everything that these guys in Louisville politics say. So we'll see what happens. I think what will happen here, though, is that you're going to see Time Warner and AT&T U-verse. Those are two people right here in Louisville. I think you're going to see a situation where they're going to start dropping their prices, hoping to pick up more subscribers. I think you're going to see them working harder on their customer service, because there have been customer service issues reported with both of the guys, Time Warner and U-verse. I personally have had all kinds of problems with Time Warner, which is why I'm a U-verse customer today, and I've never had any problems with U-verse. That's just my personal story. I like AT&T U-verse. But, you know, I think we're going to see a situation where we're going to get into a bidding war. You're going to see prices come down, and hopefully, the marketplace will do its job like it's supposed to, and this will actually be good for the ratepayers. I will say that I really am looking forward. I don't know how far away they are with the fiber optic, but I will say this. I can't wait. I mean, you're talking about 1 gig speed, internet speed, and that's going to be incredible. So I can't personally wait for that. So get ready for that when it go forward. We'll keep you up to date the more we get. In the meantime, WFPL has done a pretty good job at telling us that story, so let them get on it. Now for the laughable story of the day. And I don't mean laughable, ha-ha. Laughable, sad, how pathetic, more of the same garbage from Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher. Greg Fisher has got his good buddies over at the Courier-Journal touting this big old speech that Greg Fisher is out there talking about and this big plan he has to turn things around for the West End. As everybody knows, I've spent many years talking about the problems in the West End. I ran as a candidate for mayor in this town, and I focused exclusively on the West End, and I brought a plan for millions of dollars of investment in the West End that would turn the West End around overnight. The West End needs infrastructure. They need jobs. They need to be included, not excluded, like the Democratic mafia leadership in this town has done for decades. Well, Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher is doing the same lip service and the same things. He says his plan to turn things around for West End neighborhoods is what he terms a nitty-gritty proposal. He doesn't want to talk about how he said it's a nitty-gritty proposal, not how great things are 50 years from now. And then it keeps going on and running his mouth some more. This isn't about pretty buildings. It's not about pretty pictures. It's about creating change one person at a time to do the things you have to do to have sustained excellence in the community. It's not about throwing up brick and mortar. It's about people. Greg Fisher, like your predecessor before you, former mayor, current lieutenant governor, Jerry, I will do nothing but exclude the West End community because I don't like the West End, Abramson. Remember poor, blacker, and older? We reported that. We caught him. That's why he didn't run for his third term in the new government. This is nothing more than the same garbage. Blame the neighborhoods. Blame the people in the neighborhoods. According to Greg Fisher, his emphasis is on quality education and child care for young people. It's a culture that he's going to encourage young people to enroll in college and technical school. Greg Fisher, we have done this for decades. We have given the same lip service with flowery words that have done absolutely nothing at all to inspire the West End or to build anything in the West End or help with job creation in the West End. And, of course, Greg Fisher goes on to say the world's changed, where just having a strong back of work ethic doesn't cut it anymore in terms of a living wage. I'm so sick of these progressives, we used to call them communists, or these liberals screaming about this so-called living wage. I'm sick of that. You know, it doesn't cut it anymore in terms of a living wage. A living wage is what you make of it, folks. It is. You can live on $10 an hour. Have a roof over your head, food in your belly, and everything else. It's not going to be the highest standard of living, but you can live it. It's a living wage. If you want a higher standard of living, go get what you're worth, but make sure you're worth what you get. It's that simple. But to sit here and say that, you know, that this continual line, well, we're going to focus on education. We've been focusing on education for decades and have done absolutely nothing. Does anybody remember Brown v. Board of Education? We've tried busing. We've tried all of these different things. We're trying the so-called traditional school, which used to be the only school back in the 70s and 80s. You know, we're doing all these different things. And you're not making a big difference. Because the people in the West End need jobs. They need something to be proud of. The people in the West End need to be included in the economic development of Louisville. All of Louisville needs to forget about this service economy that Greg Fisher and his Democratic ilk have been putting in this community for too long now. We continue trying to daggone build these multi-million dollar companies with 10 people in it, sitting at a daggone keyboard all day on a computer. We continue building brand new McDonald's and brand new Burger Kings. Of course those are going to be lower paid jobs. They're starter jobs in the community. That's what our young kids need. We need to start putting a primary focus in this city of moving forward together. But what does Greg Fisher do? He sits out there and touts the median income. Tells the whole world that the median household income in West Louisville is $21,733. The median household income for the city of Louisville is $39,457. Now, note that he says the city of Louisville. Remember, Jefferson, the incorporated Jefferson County is not the city of Louisville, folks. The city of Louisville is still the same as it has always been. A merger did absolutely nothing to change that. So where does he get these numbers from? Okay? But that is a large income disparity in the median household income. I agree 100%. But why isn't he sitting there telling the whole world the obvious, what we already know? The reason that the West Louisville median income is so low is because the Democratic so-called leaders in the city of Louisville for the last 50 years have pulled every bit of support from the West End, which cost the West End manufacturing, which cost the West End higher paying jobs that would raise the median income. Go to the West, folks. Go to the West End. See what's there for you to work at. The median income disparity is simply because the Democrats or the Democrats that have run this town for so many decades haven't made it that way. It was intentional. It was everything that you can possibly imagine, a way to destroy an entire community. There's nothing that can be said about that. That's not true. You know, and so what does he do? He says he's calling on the West Louisville neighborhoods to take care of their streets and take pride in the area. Greg Fisher, you're not a cheerleader. For starters, you don't have the personality to be a cheerleader. The other part is you're a spoiled rich kid with a daggone silver spoon put in his mouth. You don't know the first thing about a blue-collar working man's fight to survive. And the Democrats that you guys have installed on the Metro Council have forgotten their roots. All they care about is maintaining their power and their part-time income of $43,000 a year, which ironically is about double what the median household income in West Louisville is. You guys don't have a clue, but you don't want a clue, because this is the way that Louisville has been brought up over the last 40 and 50 years. That's the problem. Fisher, of course, says that the other major part of his plan is growth, which will create opportunities for the entire city and West Louisville. Bullshit. Yeah, I used a dirty word. I'm sorry, folks, but I have to repeat that. Bullshit. This is the same daggone thing that's been said over and over and over. It is so redundant and untrue. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. You want me to prove that statement? I'll tell you why. Because he says that growth would come from investors. But he says some projects like Phase 4 of the Waterfront Park project that is going to extend the Waterfront Park into West Louisville is going to do everything. It's going to do a lot for the city. Explain to me how having a park extend into West Louisville is creating permanent jobs. Explain to me how it's creating a lot of permanent jobs with a living wage, as they like to call it. No, what this was nothing more than an opportunity for Greg Fisher to sit there and try to push his local option sales tax. He mentions that here. He says a one-penny sales tax creates about $120 million a year for Louisville. To put that into perspective, Waterfront Park costs $120 million. So his job isn't to bring any economic development into the West End. He wants to push a local option sales tax that he can control the money on and make the park a little bit bigger. That's not creating permanent jobs. That's not helping with growth in West Louisville. So that's your laughable story of the day. Once again, we have the Democratic leadership sitting here using the same daggone, old, tired, boring ploy to lie to the citizens of West Louisville and folks, primarily African-American citizens. Let's call it what it is. This is nothing more than a backdoor way to screw the African-American population into Louisville into compliance once again and maintaining Democratic control. Because as long as you have to depend on them to put hand to mouth and feed yourself, guess what? I don't care who you are, white, black, green, yellow, or purple. When we have to depend on the government to feed ourselves, we've got a serious problem. But that dependency keeps those who are feeding us in power. That's what the Democrats have created. And that's what we have to fight against. So West Louisville, don't be fooled. It's time to forget that foolishness. We have another story coming out of Wave 3. This concerns your volunteer suburban fire districts. According to Wave 3, several of the suburban fire districts, Louisville fire districts, are going to stop making as many EMS runs starting on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. 13 of those fire districts are only going to respond to the highest priority medical emergencies. This is according to Kevin Tyler, the Executive Vice President of Jefferson County Fire Chiefs Association. What it basically means is that Louisville Metro EMS ambulances which are going to have to come from further away because they're going into the county areas, will often be the only ones responding to calls for help. So that's going to increase your emergency help response time. And according to Tyler, the suburban districts were never supposed to handle that type of call volume anyway. And according to Tyler, over the years, the requests have increased. They've tried to stay with it and stay responsible, but they're full. They can't take on any more because they don't have any more money. So when I look at that, I have to think. You know, I was on the volunteer fire department back in the 80s, Oklahoma Fire Department. You know, at that time, it was a true volunteer department. It was a true volunteer department. And yes, yeah, Cy, you're right. Cyzeris is in the chat room, and he goes, Shades of Detroit, eh? Yeah, you're absolutely right, Cy. You're absolutely right. It is Shades of Detroit. But, you know, when you get into this volunteer, when I say a true volunteer department, okay, we didn't have anybody paying us for runs. We didn't have anybody doing that. We were getting vouchers for 35 gallons a month, 35 gallons of gas a month. The firehouse had gas pumps right there at the firehouse. We were given vouchers, and we were allowed up to 35 gallons a month. Now, that also was prorated depending on how many number of runs you made. So if you only made half the runs, well, you were required to make half the fire runs and that stuff, or you wouldn't be on a department. But if you made half the runs, you only got half the gas or less. You know, and the more you went up, the more you got. So when you look at this in play, you know, was that a perk? Yeah, I guess it was. But it wasn't pay. Now you've got paid staff at most of these departments that are staying at the firehouse. They have tried to mimic the city of Louisville because the city of Louisville, after merger, decided to put pressure on this stuff, and they started changing their rules. And those paid people are the ones who are eating up the revenue that used to pay for this type of stuff. You know, now I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. I'll let you make up your own mind. But they're complaining about all of this having a chance to, you know, to take care of all of the medical emergencies and are running out of money and are blaming it on the cap. The Jefferson County Suburban Districts can only raise 10 cents for every $100 in taxable property. So they're capped at 10 cents per $100 for taxes, and that's what they depend on for their revenue. Well, let's take another look at this. The housing crisis. How many homes were getting tax money on before sitting vacant now and empty, and property owners are no longer paying taxes on it? How much did that cut into the budget? See, everything works hand in hand, folks. You know, so here we've got paid people on what used to be volunteer departments. Okay, and in my experience, I can tell you, I've paid attention to quite a few of these volunteer departments over the last few years. And I think the quality is really suffering. I really do. I've got all the respect in the world for anybody who volunteers to put themselves in that position and to help their community. Don't get me wrong. I'm not picking on you. But we have a severe quality problem, you know, because we have too many people that are there for a paycheck and paid that really could care less. It's just about the money. And at the same time, we have loss of property taxes because of all the vacant properties that are going in and around Louisville these days because of the so-called housing crisis. Property values have dropped, so your taxes are going to drop. There's a big thing here, you know. So according to Tyler, the suburban fire chief decided in mid-June to go ahead and cut back on non-critical emergency responses. And I want to point out the obvious, too, because if you notice, well, at least back in my day, we didn't have fire trucks show up for EMS emergencies. That's what EMS was for. Okay, but now you've got a double protection, if you will. I'm trying to think of a great word for that. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a fire truck show up at the same time an ambulance did for a heart attack. What's the fire truck there for? So they can bill the insurance company for running there? Because that's exactly what every one of them do. They're going to bill the insurance company. They're going to bill you for the run, you know, so they get some of our tax money back that way. You know, so why are they there? There's so many times that happens today. It's unbelievable. And it's a problem we didn't used to have. That raises your cost. So, you know, we've got to figure out what's going on. According to Tyler, you know, there have been representatives from Greg Fisher's office that have been negotiating with these guys to maintain service. Apparently, Fisher's office had offered $1 million for the suburban districts to split to help offset the cost. Tyler said they turned it down because it was not enough. It was too low. He goes on to say that $1 million might sound like a lot, but it doesn't go far in this day and age. He's absolutely right with that. I agree with that statement, but it does not mean, that, you know, there isn't money available or we shouldn't have money available. There's plenty of money available. We don't need a local officer sales tax. We've got $5.5 million a year we spend on the Metro Council for what? County discretionary funds and everything else. For what? You want these different discretionary accounts, NDF funds and all this other stuff? Give it back to your district firehouses. You don't need it. So you can go buy a sidewalk to buy a vote. We're going to have people dying because of longer response times. Health is jeopardized. So we have a Metro Council member can take their money and buy favor for votes at election time so they can keep their job. Start calling your Metro Council representatives. Tell them to turn that couple of $100,000 over every year. How many EMS runs will that buy? Think about it. We're going to take a quick break, folks, bottom of the hour. When we get back, I've got an interesting story I want to share with you. It concerns judicial candidate Robert Winter Jr. I think you're going to enjoy where I'm going with this. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Brinkson Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
That number one on your dial pad, and we will get you on the air as soon as possible. And for everybody else, hey, guess what? Just jump into live chat. Always plenty of room available. You can sign in using your Facebook or your Twitter account or your other social media accounts if you would like. I tell you, we have some more stories going on. it is political candidates time right now, right? They're out there trying to push to run for election. Well, we have always in the past enjoyed this fake animosity or this fake nonpartisan label for judicial candidates. And I say fake because we know whether judicial candidates are Democrats or Republicans. I mean, come on. You got people like Katie King. Her dad is the Democratic Metro Council president. She proudly made sure the whole world knew she was a Democrat when she runs for office. She doesn't technically use that word when she's making her speeches, but she does privately with people she talks to. You know, and every judge does that. That's just the nature of the beast. So we know there's no such thing as a nonpartisan race. You know, but it is fascinating because judicial candidate Robert Winter Jr. has decided he's going to challenge that traditional mindset. We have often talked on this show about how we think that all races should be nonpartisan. Judicial candidates have always been forced to be that way. You know, we need to find a way to make that happen here. That way you don't have that D or that R behind your name. You don't get that automatic vote because you just fill out an arrow on the election ballot here in Kentucky. But what makes this interesting is judicial candidate Robert Winter Jr. actually sent out flyers prior to the May primary, and in his flyers he identified himself as a lifelong Republican. He also pointed out that three of his opponents were Democrats. And he did this basically because 4 years ago, a federal appeals court in Cincinnati had actually upheld and said that judicial candidates have a right to announce their party affiliation. You can check out the Courier for this if you want. But according to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is one of a series of rulings then that have been going on around the country, they were loosening the restrictions on these candidates during judicial elections. And the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals said elections were elections, and the same First Amendment applied to all of them. Freedom of speech, folks, the same First Amendment applies to the judicial candidates. So when we look at that, it was kind of shocking that right after the primary at the end of May, May 20th actually, the Judicial Conduct Commission here in Kentucky, who really, in my opinion, are nothing more but a waste of space, because they refuse to investigate anything worthwhile, including, you know, plenty of cases like the Katie King, Jim King case and all of that stuff. But, you know, when you look at this, they actually involved themselves in this. They sent judicial candidate Winter a letter telling him that there had been three complaints filed against him, and they wanted a response from him immediately. Well, clearly, I mean, he announced that three of his opponents were Democrats, so I think it's going to be pretty easy to surmise who the three complaints supposedly filed against him were. And I'm sure they were put up to it by the Democratic Party itself. I mean, let's face it, folks. The Democratic politicians in this town own it all. They own it all, even the Judicial Conduct Commission at the state level. Trust me on this. All right? My opinion, yes. Do I think it's a calculated opinion? Yes. When you spend time dealing with these guys like I have, you come to a good conclusion pretty quickly. But I thought it was fascinating because Winter has decided to sue the Judicial Conduct Commission in federal court. He is demanding that Kentucky's judicial ethics rules, be struck down as unconstitutional, and that the Judicial Enforcement Agency cannot basically sanction him. Considering that every district and circuit judgeship in Kentucky is up for election this year, including every one of them right here in Jefferson County, there are 13 contested races. It makes you wonder. I think it was a bold move by Robert Winter. I really do. I think it was a very bold move. I liked the fact that he is standing up to the JCC and telling them, I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to sit here and do this to me. So I'm going to sue you in federal court and make it public and hold you accountable. You know, now, of course, the JCC says, hey, look, we were just asking him a couple of questions. We haven't charged him with anything. I mean, that's basically it. But it brings a very interesting point to the First Amendment rights of candidates themselves. You know, you have every candidate for federal election, you know, your Mitch McConnells, your Alice in Wonderland Grimes, your Ann Pauls, your Ron Pauls, whoever. All of these people are running for office. and they declare Democrat or Republican. Why is it that judicial candidates have got to not be able to do the same thing? Now, I understand the argument. The argument is that if they admit that they're one party or they prefer one party over another, the argument is that how can they be fair? How can they be perceived as being fair and unbiased when it comes time to judge a case before them? I can tell you from personal experience, folks, in a lot of cases, there is nothing fair or unbiased in a courtroom depending on who you're up against. That's the truth. These judges, though, lawyers, some lawyers can walk in the door and get a case dismissed before they ever hit the daggone front of the bench. Other lawyers can walk in there with the same identical case and they've got to fight and their client's found guilty. The world of being the world today of who you know and who you blow is alive and well in many cases. I'm not saying all judges are like that in any way, shape, or form, but there are plenty of them that are. Just like there are bad people in every profession, you're going to have bad judges that play that political game. So we can't sit here and make the blanket statement that somehow this is going to say that these judges are going to prove some sort of a bias. I'm a conservative. Politically speaking, I'm a conservative. I do have an R behind my name because politically speaking, typically everybody thinks if you're a conservative, you must be a Republican. People make that divisive without even realizing that I have many, many liberal Democrat friends, quite a few of which I work for or work with on issues that are going to affect our community in a positive way. So does that mean that I should sit here and judge any Republican because they're a Republican or a liberal because they're a liberal or a Democrat because they're a Democrat? Is a judge going to do that for the most part? Remember, you're always going to have a certain percentage in any profession that is bad and going to do things the wrong way. But most people are going to do things the right way. And yes, folks, that includes the police too. I've been bombarded this weekend with all kinds of video around the country of bad cops, you know. But you guys need to look at the good cops too. We've got bad cops in Louisville, and I've spoken about a couple of them. Okay, a couple of them were bad cops that hurt me. But, you know, that doesn't mean they all are. And it's the same thing with judges. So, you know, according to Steve Wolnizek, the JCC's chair, he says he's pretty convinced that there is not much of anything they can do to keep anyone from saying whatever they want to say. So with that in mind, why are they asking questions in the first place? Because they received three complaints from three candidates who were going against Mr. Winter because he called them out for being Democrats. Oops. Once again, we're wasting our time and efforts on something that's meaningless. Now, there are some judges that have a problem. You know, there are people like judicial campaign consultant Larry O'Brien. He said other candidates have been too scared to attempt this because they're scared of being slapped around by people like Citizens for Better Judges or the Kentucky Judicial Campaign Conduct Committee, and they're even scared of the Courier-Journal's editorial board if they do. That's why people don't say they're Republican in judicial races. You know, that's why they like it nonpartisan. Maybe they can get an editorial endorsement from the Courier-Journal. But the reality is the Courier-Journal knows who the Democrats and Republicans are. They're going to endorse whoever the hell they want to based on who they're told to endorse. I don't like it. They'll deny it, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You look at somebody like Jefferson District Judge Stephanie Pierce Burke. And to be quite honest with you, I like Stephanie Pierce Burke, you know, but you look at Stephanie Pierce Burke, she's seeking a second term right now, and she don't think it's a good idea for a candidate running for judge to state whether Republican or Democrat at all. She says, you know, judicial candidates need to go to everyone to get elected on both sides of the aisle, and she thinks that it doesn't make you look judicious if you're going to Republicans only for funding and campaign and things like that. You know, and you're right. When you campaign for office, you should never go to one party for any office. If you're going to ask the people to vote for you, remember, if you're a Republican, you also represent a Democrat and vice versa. So while I do agree that you should be open to both sides, it shouldn't be about money. So these are the kind of things that continue going on, and I'm really watching this story closely. I want to see candidate Winter win this one. And I tell you why. As much as I would like to see every race be a so-called nonpartisan race, if we're not going to go down that road, then let's level the playing field. It's almost like looking at a NASCAR car, you know, when you're seeing NASCAR in the races over the weekend. When that car is going around track, you know who bought and paid for them. It's all over the hood. I think every congressman in Washington should have to wear a jacket with their sponsors on it every day. And whatever on C-SPAN, we should be able to see who's sponsoring them, right? Who's buying them off? There's no reason a judge candidate should have to be held to a different standard than anybody else. If we're not going to make all our races nonpartisan, then let's let the judicial candidates do their job as well. Let's let them advertise themselves a Republican or Democrat. That way we level the playing field. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting. So we're going to pay more attention to this story going forward. In other news, yeah, folks, I'm sorry. There is always other news, and I apologize to you, but it's the way it works, man. I've got an interesting story that came out over the weekend. This weekend, the Republican Party had their unity picnic. I did not attend. I will state that clearly right out of the gate. And my apologies to the Jefferson County Republican Chair, Nathan Haney, who did send me an invitation. And I had actually planned on going out there just to mingle with the crowd and see what was going on. And, you know, I catch up and get some great stories for you. Unfortunately, I had an illness and couldn't do it. But Wave3's did it. Wave3.com did a story. And it is very interesting here because they did this story about, you know, how Kentucky is finding itself in one of the most contentious races in the country. And they used a quote from Mitch McConnell when he was speaking at the Unity Picnic crowd this Saturday. And Mitch McConnell says they are not going to roll over, meaning the Democrats, and this is going to be a big, big race, which is right. I'll agree with that. And he said here and made the statement that we're in the middle of the biggest and most consequential race in the country. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, that's pretty true statement. But you know, then, you know, for you people who think I don't pick on Republicans enough, you're going to like this. You're going to like this. Because it was really interesting here that Mitch McConnell was talking about being in the biggest and most consequential race in the country and how hard this is going to be. You know, and of course, the Unity Picnic is all by design to bring all the public together so you can kind of, you know, bring people together and, you know, and get some cash, man. It's fundraising as well. Get some cash for a lot of the people on the lower end of the ballot in Jefferson County. But Republican State Senator Julie Denton really, really pissed me off in her comments the way three covered. Julie Denton gave $25,000, which is great. She put out $25,000 to form a trust fund for the Louisville Metro Council Republican Caucus. That's fantastic if that's what she wants to do with her money. But see, here's the problem. She made the statement and said this, and this is a quote with the Way 3 story. From me, that's the first 25. You guys get more, and I'll pony up more. And you're thinking, wow, what a great person. We're going to vote for her. What she didn't tell anybody, and Wave 3 pointed out, was the money was left over funds, not from Denton. Denton didn't give anybody $25,000 of her personal money. This was money that was left over from her Senate campaign account. She was able to take her Senate campaign account and give it to the Republican Party. For me, that's the first 25 from me. That's the first 25. You guys give more, and I'll pony more up. Like she is this great public servant who is this fantastic altruistic person who is giving her own money to the Republican Party and thinking that she's all great. She did nothing more than pass on a campaign account money to the party. She didn't give her own money of anything. She gave your money, my money. Anybody who has ever contributed to her campaign account, she gave their money away without asking their permission or asking them what to do with it. But it's her money, right? Right? Yeah, let's see what we got here. Sai is in the chat room. Here we go. You're right, Sai. You're right. I mean, this is nothing more than a war chest. She's passing on a war chest. And Sai asked a question. I wonder how campaign finance laws apply. There, it's perfectly legal, sir. I do know this, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't researched it in a few years. But you were able to do that all day long with your war chest. It used to be the congressmen, they had all this money built up in their campaign accounts. So they resigned, they took it with them. Now they have to give it away. This is perfectly legal. But is it moral? Is it ethical? Take credit for $25,000 that wasn't your money? Well, I'm giving it to you out of the goodness of my heart. Because that's just the kind of woman I am. Shocked, surprised by that statement. But it shouldn't shock and surprise me. Because that's the way it is in both parties. That's the way it is in both parties. They take your donations and they do whatever the hell they want to. They treat it as if it's their own. You know, just like they do our tax money. They spend it any way they choose to. While we've got suburban fire districts suffering greatly for getting medical personnel to extreme emergencies, we're going to go out and spend a few $1,000s putting a sidewalk on a three-house block because people gave you a campaign contribution and you want to make sure you get their votes, families' votes for your next election. Wonder if they're still going to feel the same way if one of those people that live in those three houses on that block you just bought a sidewalk for can't get an ambulance there in time when their loved one has a heart attack and dies. But hey, it's no big deal. It's their money. It's their money. And that's the kind of stuff that really should make you angry. I've got a couple of quick things here on the national front we didn't get to last week. We'll touch on real quick. For you guys who have been out of the loop, vacation time this time of year, right? Former New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin was sentenced to 10 years in prison for bribery last Wednesday. He was sent to 10 years for bribery, money laundering, and all kinds of corruption during his two terms as mayor. A lot of this took place after Hurricane Katrina hit in 2005. Now, you may remember Ray Nagin, who was screaming on the TV and the airwaves and telling the whole world that they needed more money. They needed more money. The feds, were slow and everything else. And the problem is he was making all of these claims because he was stealing money. Period. He was bribed. He was doing money laundering, other corruption. Just one example, he was convicted February 12th of accepting hundreds of thousands of dollars from businessmen who wanted work in the city or they wanted Nagin support for different projects they had. That came in the form of not only cash, he also got free vacations, you name it, free vacations, truckloads of free granite for his family business. All of this is going on, and this is a guy who was screaming they weren't getting enough money. Well, you weren't getting enough money because you were about out of business because New Orleans flooded, and you needed to refill your personal coffers. Good riddance as far as I'm concerned. Really, good riddance. I mean, this guy enjoyed the votes from everybody. I mean, he got the large percentage of the white voters. This wasn't an African-American guy like... everybody says Obama got voted in because of the black vote. Well, okay. But Ray Nagin, reached across the whole aisle. Very, very influential guy. Very great speaker, in my opinion. I thought he did a fantastic job. But to get caught like that, after publicly doing the kind of pleas you were doing, knowing this money probably isn't going everywhere it's supposed to, based on history, you kind of had to expect, didn't you, that you might come under some kind of scrutiny? And if you did, you know, you don't throw rocks into glass houses, folks. You just don't do it. So we're seeing what's happening now. Hobby Lobby case is getting more and more interesting. This came out last week as well. And the reason that this is interesting to me, we've already talked about Hobby Lobby on air. We have talked about the fact that Hobby Lobby, you know, has fought this fight and won at the Supreme Court over contraception. Nobody wants to report the reality that Hobby Lobby indeed does pay for protection. They do pay for all of the things that everybody wants. They pay for condoms, for goodness sake. They pay for just about every birth control pill you can think of through their benefits. You know, you got all these different things that are going on. The only thing that Hobby Lobby basically was fighting against was something like the RU-86 pill, the abortion pill, if you will. They're more than willing to pay, and have been, 16 out of 20 federally approved forms of birth control. They have covered in their benefits. 16 out of 20. IUDs, birth control pills, you know, the 3 and 5 year things that they put in your arms now. I mean, everything. Male condoms, female condoms. But their religious beliefs are that they don't believe in abortion. So they didn't want to pay for something like the RU-86 pill. So when we look at this, why is it that mainstream media did not point out the obvious, that they did everything they could to hide that fact, to make it look like Hobby Lobby was against birth control? It's like Sandra Fluke, who was too cheap to go out and spend $5 a month out of her own pocket for birth control pills, and thought the federal government should spend, you know, $300 a month for health insurance to get her birth control pills for free. Of course, her co-pays now are larger than that, but you get what you wish for, right? And every other American had to suffer for it. You know, you look at these things. But what's more disturbing to me is the Senate Democrats under Harry Reid. We have all of these problems with illegal immigration. We have an out-of-control government spending, in my opinion. We have trillions of dollars in debt that will never pay off. And that's only what they're saying we have. That's not even counting the couple of hundred trillion that most experts say are unfunded, a couple of hundred trillion dollars of debt that they're not even showing on the books. But the most important thing to this Congress is putting legislation up right away that's going to override the Supreme Court's decision in the Hobby Lobby case and try to force for-profit employers to cover the full range of contraception and all of their employees as required by the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare. Hobby Lobby has done everything they can to provide, as a for-profit employer, to provide their employees with every alternative to getting pregnant there is, except go out to the bars and keep you from getting drunk, except go out to your houses and make sure you don't have any weed in there. Other than invade your privacy in that way, they've done everything, 16 out of 20 contraceptives. But the Senate Democrats think that this is so severe because Hobby Lobby doesn't want an abortion that, oh my God, we have got to pass legislation right now. This country is in a free fall. This will destroy the American fabric. This will destroy America as we know it if somebody can't get a free RU-40 or 86 pill so that they can get the abortion pill the next morning, the morning after pill, so that they don't have a kid that they don't want. It's imperative. This is the most important thing facing this country. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If that's not asinine enough, go online and look this story up. A woman was arrested over the weekend. She was arrested for taking illegal drugs and endangering the life of the fetus that was in her belly. Democrats passed a law that said if you do drugs while you're pregnant, it's a criminal act that threatens the life of the baby. The Democrats passed the laws to say abortion is legal. We want you to get an abortion. We will help you get an abortion. But don't take a drug that might make that abortion happen, you know, naturally. Don't take a drug that might do that, or you're a criminal. Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? How much hypocrisy are we supposed to endure? How much hypocrisy are we supposed to endure? The Hobby Lobby case is the greatest concern and the realest threat to America that we have known since the Cold War. According to Senate Democrats, we have to put this at the top of the list and fix this right now. The same Democrats who say abortion should be legal, a woman has the right to choose. If a woman has the right to choose and we are going to be forced to pay for it, then she has the right to sit there and do drugs while she's pregnant. If her kid dies, her kid dies. Because she can go right down to the corner at any Planned Parenthood and say, hey, cut this thing out of me, and it's done. Difference. Where's the hypocrisy? That should be the most disturbing thing of all, folks. How do you sit here and live with yourself? How do you liberals who think that this is okay, live with yourself? Makes no sense to me. But you know, doesn't have to, right? That's life. You just got to deal with it, Ed. If I went out and shot somebody that was a threat to me, there's a good probability I'm going to jail for murder. Sometimes you win self-defense, sometimes you don't. It depends on who's in the court that day and if they're in a good mood. A woman could say, I got drunk last night at a bar, come up pregnant 6 weeks later and say, well, I don't want this baby and it's my right to choose, it's my body. Any woman can do that. If a woman decides she wants to take her Suboxone while she's pregnant, you know, and she bought it on the street from a dealer, well, you're endangering the life of that child. You're going to jail. That's a arrestable offense. I don't get it. But maybe I'm not supposed to. Who knows? Anyway, that's it for tonight. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Dale the Truth will be here with his TNT Tuesday Night Truth Show. I will return on Wednesday and Thursday with you guys. Same time, same channel as always for all our shows, 7 o'clock, Sunday through Thursday night. And don't forget our good friend Ken Moman on Sunday night at 7 as well. And please, when you go to LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join the RSS feed and the email newsletter. We appreciate all of you very much. Thank you so much. Have a great night. God bless.